Welcome, friends, to The Hero Beside Me, the podcast that seeks to explore the professional and private lives of working dogs of all kinds. For thousands of years, humans and canines have shared a special bond and an essential partnership, which continues to grow in importance in our society today. Dogs are helping humans in a myriad of ways, performing essential tasks that only they can perform. The more we learn about them, the more endless their potential seems to be. It is my goal to document the way these amazing animals are making an indelible mark on our world with their astonishing abilities, incredible drive, insatiable zest for life, and unconditional love, which they generously bestow upon their humans. Join me as I explore the wonder of these canine heroes beside us. Listeners, welcome to the show. Today, I bring you my conversation with Annie Zucker of Love on a Leash, and we're going to be talking about therapy dogs. Annie, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with dogs.
Well, I am a retired teacher. I taught for over 18 years. I have three therapy dogs, and we recently moved to a nice property in Escondido, so the dogs have plenty of room to run around and play. I decided to do therapy work with my dog because I saw an article in the newspaper about a program where children could practice their reading to dogs and how there had been studies to show that this was actually beneficial to a new reader to have a dog listen to them read. The name of the organization was Love on a Leash. So when I retired, I was lucky enough to have an old English sheepdog who seemed like he'd be the perfect candidate as a therapy dog. We took the necessary training and passed the evaluations to become a therapy dog. And that's how I got started.
So what does it take to be a therapy dog?
To become a member, a therapy dog for Love on a Leash, a dog has to pass what's called a behavior control evaluation. And this is an evaluation done by an American Kennel Club certified evaluator. And it tests the dog's behaviors, the ones that you might think, can the dog sit, stay, come, but then also ones where it requires the dog to be out of the company of its owner so that the dog is with someone else for a few minutes while the owner hides to see how the dog might react. And then you have to make 10 visits with a person who will watch your dog and make sure that you and your dog are a good team for therapy visits. They look for how does your dog react in strange situations? How does the handler meet and greet the people that are with the dog. So it's an ongoing process to see how the dog reacts to different situations over 10 different visits. And when a dog has successfully completed the 10 supervised visits, they are a member of Love on a Leash and can start making therapy visits.
More generally, what is the definition of a therapy dog?
Okay, a therapy dog is usually someone's pet who has been trained to bring happiness and comfort to people in stressful situations. It's usually a volunteer situation. We're never paid to do any of our therapy work. And the therapy dog always goes home with its owner.
On a practical level, how does a dog provide therapy to someone in a stressful situation?
That's a good question. There have been studies that show while petting a dog, the body produces chemicals, I believe it's called serotonin, that actually helps the brain relax. And so the person becomes more relaxed and less stressed about the situation that they're in. It helps them to forget where they are or why they're there. And it just gives them maybe even just a few minutes of respite from whatever it is that's troubling them, whether they're in the hospital or maybe the boredom of being in a nursing home, things like that. So there is scientific proof that being with a dog and petting a dog is beneficial.
And what is Love on a Leash?
Love on a Leash is a national therapy dog organization that was started here in northern San Diego. And it was started about 1980, and its goal is to provide comfort and therapy and happiness through the use of a therapy dog. And we get invited all over the country to make visits to different facilities and under different circumstances to bring just that few moments of forgetting what a stressful situation you're in.
How often do you and your dog make visits?
Well, the COVID really stopped that for us. But now we're back to making visits. We make about 3 visits a week. We make visits to nursing homes in our area. We also make visits to schools. And my dog and I make visits with autistic students. We have members who make visits to hospice, who do visits with disabled children, who, again, make visits in nursing homes. My dogs and I make visits in hospitals. What else do we do? Airports. We do the San Diego airport, yes. Prisons. We have members who volunteer at the men's prison downtown here in San Diego. Just about anywhere you think where people might need a lift, our dogs have been there.
You mentioned earlier that you were inspired to do this work because you read an article that talked about kids reading to dogs. So have you been able to do that with your dog?
Yes, I forgot to mention that. When the libraries were open every Saturday, my dog and a group of other dogs would go to our local library where we sit on the floor and children choose books and they would read to our dogs. And there is also evidence that shows that the child reading to the dog is really a good way for them to practice because the dog is non-judgmental and doesn't make comments while the child is reading.
So what are some, do you have any stories you can share, success stories you could share that you've experienced?
I do. My favorite one was when my old English sheepdog Finley and I were making a visit to Sharp Hospital, and we had finished our about an hour worth of visits, and we were getting ready to leave. And as we're leaving the hospital, a nurse comes running after us and says, "You have to make one more visit. You just have to make one more." So Finley's always ready and up for the challenge. We went up to the hospital, and we're walking down the hall, and standing in the hall is a young woman, a young adult. And when she sees us coming, she yells into the room closest to her. Okay, this is going to make me cry because I remember it so vividly. She yells, "Mom, you're never going to believe what they found for you. You're never going to believe what's going to come visit you." Now, Finley is an old English sheepdog, so he's a very large, shaggy dog. And he walks into the room, and he's tall enough so that when he walks next to a hospital bed, his back is at the same height as the hospital bed. There's a woman in the bed, and when she sees Finley, she starts crying, and she wraps her arms around his chest, and she puts her head in his neck, and she cries for a couple minutes. And while she's doing this, I can see Finley plant his feet on the floor like, okay, I'm in here for the long haul. This is gonna be a while. And he just stands there while she weeps into Finley's neck. And then she stops and she explains to me that just before she had to come into the hospital for emergency surgery, her own dog had died. And she really, really wanted to see a dog. So we had a really nice visit with her talking about the dog that she lost and how much we liked our dogs and how funny they were. And she told me stories about her dog. So I like to think that for the time that Finley and I were there, she wasn't thinking about why she was in the hospital.
What kind of dog is best suited to this work?
Okay, it's usually a dog that is calm, that can take different situations easily, who likes people, is eager to be with other people, doesn't mind being around other dogs, because we frequently make visits with other dogs. Just a nice, calm dog with a friendly demeanor makes a good therapy dog.
And you said you have 3 therapy dogs?
I do. I have Finley, the old English sheepdog, Molly, she's a rough collie, and I have Bette, who's a Shetland sheepdog.
Do you think they know they're working, or do you think they're just, to them, it's just socializing?
Probably both. They definitely know when they're going to work, because I wear a certain pair of shoes and a certain blouse when I'm getting ready to make visits. So when I put on these shoes, the three dogs will come and smell the shoes, and they know someone's going. And then once they put on their vest or their handkerchief, they know they're going to work. And they just march right beside me. We go into the hospital, or we walk into the nursing home, the assisted living, and then they know that they're at work. You can just tell.
How do you pick who you're going to take with you that day?
Ooh, this is sad to say, but it's usually the one who's most nicely groomed for that day. I do try to vary it, though, so that one dog doesn't get worked more than the other, because even though I think they enjoy it, I think it is stressful for them. There's a lot of new smells and people that they're with and new sounds, but even though I think they enjoy it, I think it is work for them, so I like to give them time off.
Did you already have them as pets before you started this, or did you get them to work with them, besides Finley, who you had already?
No, I also had Molly and Bette. I've only had Bette for maybe 4 years, I think. So I got her as a three-year-old. So no, I did not plan on her being a therapy dog, but she did turn out to be a beautiful therapy dog. And Molly did not become a therapy dog until she was, I believe, 9 years old. She was just too much of a little devil until then. And it wasn't until she was older that I thought that she could do the work. And she's a good dog.
Have you noticed a difference between your relationship with Molly and Finley from when they were only your pet to now, when they are your working partner?
I think that we have a better relationship because they are my working partner, and I feel an obligation to make sure that they're kept up on their skills and that their health is good. And so it is a more intense relationship, I think, because I depend on them to be ready to work when I need them to help me.
And what has being a therapy dog handler brought to your life?
Oh, gosh. I think it was so obvious to me when we had the COVID and I couldn't make the visits anymore. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed being out there and doing things with my dog and making people feel better through my dog. That's the neat part is I really don't do much. It's my dog that does all the work. So I really did miss that. And then doing the therapy work has given me such a nice opportunity to make new friends with other handlers. So I missed that too. So it made a big difference in my life when we couldn't make visits.
What do you think it is about dogs that makes them such good partners and such good therapists?
I think that they're always happy to see you. They're always willing to listen. And I think just like with that lady in the hospital, they know when you need them and they're there for you. They really don't ask very much of us, you know, and they just give us so much companionship and joy.
Is there anything you think the listeners might not know about therapy dogs that you think they should know?
Well, there is a lot of confusion as to what a therapy dog is, or a service dog is, or an emotional support dog. So I think it's important for the public to know that a service dog is a very specifically trained dog that usually is trained to help a person in need of some kind. It takes a great deal of time and money to train a service dog. A therapy dog is a pet, and it can be a highly trained pet too, but it usually goes home with that person at the end, and it is a pet. An emotional support dog, can be a lot of different things, but they shouldn't be confused, and that people shouldn't try to take advantage of the fact that their dog is really not a service dog, because that really you know, really isn't fair to those service dogs that are so highly trained and the people that need them to make their lives better.
And by take advantage, you mean they shouldn't put a vest on the dog that says service and try to gain access to where, to places that only service dogs have access to?
That's right. Yes. Yes. It makes it, you know, really hard on everybody.
After my conversation with Annie, I had the opportunity to join her and another Love on a Leash dog handler on a visit to an assisted living facility. Many of the residents seemed to really enjoy having the opportunity to spend time with the dogs. Annie brought her dog, Bet, a little Shetland sheepdog who was happy to sit in people's laps, while Donna brought her lab, Gidget.
My name is Donna, and this is my big black lab, Gidget, and we are visiting at an assisted living home, and we're so happy to be able to be here after over a year of not being out and about visiting people. Can you imagine? This is what kicked it off for me. After visiting my husband's uncle in the facility that we would go visit, can you imagine if you'd had pets your whole life and grown up with pets, and even if you find a nice place to be in a group, in a group home to come and visit, in a congregate home, but you're told, no, sorry, you can't have your pets anymore. That just gripped my heart. I remember thinking that when I went to go visit Uncle Bill. And that's when we decided that we needed to go through and do this with Gidget sooner than we had thought. But the value of being able to bring your sweet little critters to places where they're not able to live with you, just, it's hard to put into words. It's the easiest thing for me to do now that my kids are in school, out of college and in college and not in the home anymore. And I'm not running around doing anything for anybody. And I've got this sweet dog that just likes to be pet.
Here's Florette, one of the residents.
My name is Florette. Happy to talk to you. I love having a different dog every weekday. We have different dogs, and I just absolutely love it. And there's one that has two dogs, Elvis and Presley. Adorable. They like to lay on their back on your lap. You can pet their tummy. I love it. I used to have dogs, yeah. The last dog I had was a boxer. And she was such a pretty color, like a taffy apple. We called her Taffy. They're so loyal, you know, and I just love to cuddle. That's the kind that I like. One that likes to cuddle and kiss. And everybody says, no, don't kiss. I said, let her kiss, I like it. And these two are adorable. Have you seen Elvis and Presley?
No.
And Fergus? Fergus is a Wheaton. And I forget what day he comes, once a week also. This is Monday, right? Today, Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Elvis and Presley are tomorrow. Everybody seems to come down to want to pet the dogs, yeah. Because a lot of them have had pets, and then they can't walk them anymore, so we rely on other people's pets. They're really nice.
So if someone's listening to this and they are really inspired by your story and they are interested in doing this with their own dog, what advice do you have for them?
I think that they should make sure that their dog is well socialized and is able to be calm in different circumstances. They should have a dog that has good behavior, a nice personality that enjoys being with people. And then they should contact Love on a Leash to see exactly what they need to do to have their dog become a therapy dog.
How long of a process is it usually to do the 10 visits you described?
Well, you could do a visit one every day and be done very quickly, but it usually doesn't work out like that because most people, have other things that they need to get done. You do have a year from the time that you pass the behavior control to finish all of your 10 visits. So, it takes people, maybe 6 months to get the whole thing done.
And if there is not a Love on a Leash chapter in their area, can they start one? How does it work?
You can start one, and there are guidelines on our webpage as to how you start one. I believe there has to be more than one member, but it can be as few as two members to start your own chapter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for listening to the show today. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or a number of other platforms. We're currently trying to determine the future of this show, and we would really appreciate your feedback. If you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you'd fill out our listener feedback survey. You can find a link to it in the show notes, or if you go to herobeside.me, click on the podcast button. You'll see a listener feedback survey button at the top of that next page. It only takes about 2 minutes to complete, and we would really appreciate it. As I mentioned earlier, I'm your host, Shauna T. I'm a professional photographer, and I'm currently working on a photography project about working dogs. If you would like information about this project, please visit herobeside.me and sign up for the newsletter. Again, that's herobeside.me. Thanks so much. See you next time.